manner. So please pray for this crazy, crazy world. We need help. God is the master of this world. So God bless you, my friends, and God bless this great country.
Family Natural Foods is proud to serve our wonderful hometown. They are a family-run business committed to providing personal guidance to help customers meet their health goals with reference books, natural supplements, and 75 years of experience. You will find organic, local, grass-fed meat, sustainable seafood, gluten and dairy-free products, fair trade coffee and tea, and essential oils. Come visit Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A Republican presidential party fundraiser was held in Iowa last night. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina were among the more than two dozen who spoke. But CBS's Willie James Inman with who was the main attraction.
Facing mounting legal troubles, former President Trump campaigned in Iowa on Friday.
They're weaponizing the FBI.
Trump spoke the day after special counsel Jack Smith unveiled three additional criminal charges against him in the classified documents case. President Biden traveled to Maine Friday to tout his Bidenomics economic policies.
Inflation is now at the lowest point it's been in over 2 years.
An overhaul on the way serious crimes are handled in the military. White House reporter Bo Erickson with details.
Mr. Biden's executive order cemented the law passed in 2021 that moved military prosecutions for sexual assault and sexual harassment away from the chain of military command and into the purview of specialized independent military prosecutors.
The extreme weather is relentless, with almost two-thirds of the country under some sort of warning or advisory. CBS's Jim Crisula on the severe storms.
Severe storms caused injuries and widespread damage across parts of the upper Midwest, deep south, and New England. This woman lives near Keene, New Hampshire.
Trees looked like they were flying, and so then I went into the bathroom.
Jonathan Ryland's property was damaged in Livonia, Michigan, outside Detroit.
A tree fell, crushing the awning. My car.
More severe storms are expected today from southern New England to the mid-Atlantic states and across the upper plains.
From the storms to this heat wave, Weather Channel meteorologist Jackie Jarrus on when the scorching temps will cool off.
Temperatures remain brutally hot from the Midwest all the way over towards the eastern seaboard. Now, we will get some relief in parts of the country over the next couple of days and early next week.
A new report's out on the deadly Travis Scott concert from 2 years ago. Chris Fox is in Austin.
The document is over 1,200 pages, compiled of police reports, cell phone texts sent during the concert, and witness interviews. Namrata Shahani was interviewed. She was able to escape the deadly crowd surge, but her sister Barty was not and died later that night.
Every day I wake up, I constantly wish that, like, maybe it was just a big nightmare, and it'll finally be over, and I can finally see my sister again.
Here we go again.
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad.
There was no big winner for the massive Mega Millions drawing last night. That means the jackpot climbs again. It's now up to just over $1 billion. The next drawing is Tuesday night. This is CBS News.
Next to Oprah and the Queen.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means, wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 54. Tonight, clear skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 78. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 70.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Always attends you until that time, if ever, as a jury comes back and finds beyond a reasonable doubt that you as a defendant, the defendant himself, herself, itself, is guilty, again, beyond a reasonable doubt, or there's a plea. And a judge enters that finding based upon the evidence presented during the course of the case. A presumption of innocence, that's in our Constitution. It attends everyone, until that formal adjudication of guilt is entered by a court, followed typically by a jury, but not always. And that attends the president as well, and attends other people now included in this superseding indictment. We're going to spend some time again, principally this first hour, second hour, talking specifically, more than just the headlines, about what that particular indictment says. We're going to go through the talking portions, the narrative descriptions of what happened, and what is new in this superseding indictment that was not a part of the indictment that we talked about in early June, again, pending in South Florida. This entire matter, as we know, scheduled by the presiding judge. Her name is Eileen Cannon. She is the district court judge in South Florida. She has scheduled a trial on this entire package of things, all of these charges, for May 24th of next year, 2024. She scheduled that after a hearing among the parties, but before the return of this recent indictment that, yes, adds more charges and adds at least one new defendant to the case, changes somewhat the geography of the case, and may in fact prompt this new defendant through counsel to ask for yet another postponement in the trial date. An awful lot of things related to the pendency of the trial itself, the charges pending right now. We're still anticipating motions to dismiss, motions to suppress, motions challenging the very legitimacy of the indictment itself, certainly the superseding indictment as well. All of that still coming in the Federal District Court before Judge Eileen Cannon. Lots and lots of things to do, not only in the wake of that first indictment in June, but also now this superseding indictment that happened just 48 hours ago. Also, again, coming out of South Florida, a grand jury sitting in that setting. And let me begin with that principal point, which we have talked about before. A little bit of civics once again this morning. What is a grand jury? A grand jury, again, a private proceeding. We do not know the names of those people. Typically in the federal system, 26 people gathered together, selected by a court, a magistrate judge, sometimes a district court judge. They are from all sectors of our community. They're bankers, they're teachers, they're masons, they're healthcare providers. They can be all sorts of folks. They can be broadcasters, educators, all kinds of people out there who are called in to determine what, whether there's a basis, whether there's probable cause to find that the people, the entities that they are investigating, and yes, it's their investigation, it is a grand jury investigation, whether there is probable cause to determine to find in the end that indictment charges, federal charges, and then sometimes state charges. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. State grand juries pending right now, at least we know in Georgia as well, related to January 6th. Another unrelated grand jury pending, standing right now in Washington, D.C., again related to J6. That will probably be the subject of more discussion and more indictments in the future. This particular grand jury, again, in South Florida, convened how? By a court. Very important point. Grand juries, contrary to some of the commentary out there, even some of the well-meaning media commentary, are not branches of the U.S. Department of Justice. They're not a part of the executive branch. They're a part of the judicial branch. It's a grand jury, a petit jury in a trial setting. That's a part of the court system, not owned, not under the auspices of the executive branch. A grand jury, including the grand jury that returned this superseding indictment, is a part of the judicial branch, convened again by a judge, by a magistrate judge, to bring them together, 26 people, to work in private to determine whether or not there is sufficient evidence to return charges. And yes, they do it based upon subpoenas that they can issue, subpoenas for the testimony of people coming before them to provide them with oral testimony about what happened, what didn't happen. Also, lots of documents that they can secure, again, through grand jury subpoenas. We'll talk about that in just a few moments as well. And in the end, the Department of Justice, through assistant U.S. attorneys, and yes, Jack Smith, who is the special counsel here, his staff as well, assisting them undeniably, working through the administrative portions of enforcing those subpoenas, getting those witnesses to appear. But it's the grand jury itself that does the review of all this information and determines in the end whether there is a sufficient probable cause to return an indictment. And yet, once again, as I've said in the past, my strong view, having spent 30 years practicing in front of grand juries, is they are not a rubber stamp. You happen to be listening to someone who is a prosecutor on at least two different occasions during my time as an assistant U.S. attorney. A federal prosecutor had grand juries come back to me and say, Mr. Santel, we do not concur. We have looked at the evidence presented in front of us, and we do not agree with your assessment that there is a basis, a probable cause that these particular defendants have engaged in federal offenses. And you know what? Although I disagreed with them, obviously would not have presented that to them absent my view, the view of my boss at that time, the U.S. attorneys for whom I worked, that there was a sufficient basis to indict. The reality is, and the important point is, it's the grand jury's decision. It's not the decision of the prosecutor. It's not the decision in the end of the U.S. Department of Justice. It is the decision of those grand jurors. They make the finding, and that's what happened again this past week in adding additional charges, in adding additional defendant to this particular case. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk with specificity about what that grand jury, that superseding grand jury indictment says, what it doesn't say. Stay with us for that discussion, that presentation about this talking indictment that once again animates the rule of law in America and dictates in many ways the kinds of cases that are going to be pending in the federal district court in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
School on! Stay on!
Back to school is on, and Staples has great prices on everything you need for your best year yet. Save on notebooks. Save on headphones and laptops. Save on pens, markers, and all the essentials. And right now at Staples, save up to 60% on select notebooks, markers, and more. School on, save on at Staples, where school savings are always in session. N729. Prices may vary in-store and online.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
We are back here at Morning Cannolis. It is Saturday, July 29th, a special broadcast here again. The auspices of Civic Media, but also taking your phone calls, your texts as well, through the Civic Media online app. That phone number is 844-967-2789. Delighted to hear from you this morning, as always, spending most of this hour, perhaps even into the second hour, depending upon your observations, your questions, your comments on this major new development in a criminal prosecution brought by the U.S. Department of Justice. This is a federal prosecution. This is not a state prosecution, brought by the U.S. Department of Justice in the executive branch of the federal government. Federal prosecutors, Thursday, just 2 days ago, adding some new major accusations to a previously filed indictment that we talked about right here on this program, charging the former president, his name Donald Trump, with mishandling classified documents after he left office. We know about that. That was the predicate of the previous indictment. Presenting evidence that he told a property management at Mar-a-Lago, which is his resort and sometimes residence, his private club, his residence in Florida there, that he wanted security camera footage there to be deleted. That's the headline. And that is why this new accusation, this set of accusations, is so significant. It's all about, once again, obstruction of justice, an attempt to keep the investigators from finding out what really happened. And again, let's talk a little bit more about the predicates for this. We're going to spend some time chatting about what this all means. Let's start with the word superseding. Superseding, what does that mean? S-U-P-E-R-S-E-D-I-N-G, the second major civics point of the morning. It means what it means in commonplace language. You may or may not use that word in your own life and own business and your own relationships with your family and friends. Basically means taking the place of a thing that was previously in place, a substitute. It supplants the thing that was there before. It's a substitute for what happened before. And indeed, the superseding indictment that we have now in front of us, returned by the grand jury in South Florida just 2 days ago, incorporates all of the previous charges. It's a brand new indictment, but it's also duplicative of. It repeats all the previous charges and adds more. It more adds more things in terms of an additional defendant. And also through this speaking language of this superseding, this supplanting indictment gives us even more indication of what it was that Donald Trump and at least two other people now were doing with respect to these documents. And yes, indeed, an attempt to obstruct justice in the very, very conduct, the response to the conduct of the investigation being conducted by the U.S. Department of Justice. A superseding indictment, it is now the document upon which this trial will proceed. And again, incorporating all the previous charges and allegations that we talked about in June and some new things as well. Let's get right to that. Again, focusing on those Mar-a-Lago documents, the new accusations revealed in this indictment naming additional defendant, okay? His name is Carlos de Oliveira, all right? And so we've got actually a third person involved in these particular charges. We know the first one, his name is Donald Trump. We know the second one. We saw him in the previous indictment. His charges remain in the superseding indictment. His name is Walter or Walt Nauta, N-A-U-T-A, is the personal aide, the personal assistant to the former president. And now we have this third person. He's the property manager, sometimes called the maintenance supervisor at Mar-a-Lago. He is now also named as a third defendant. He is now in criminal jeopardy by virtue of the charges in the superseding indictment. Carlos de Oliveira, we're going to talk a lot about him this morning. And then there is a fourth person that's also a part of this indictment, identified in the indictment just as employee number four. But we know who that is. We know who that is by virtue of other discovery, other information provided by the media. And his name is Yusil, Y-U-S-C-I-L, Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-E-S. Yusil Taveras, identified again as employee number four. And what is his role? He's the IT specialist. He's the one who does all the information technology there at Mar-a-Lago. You'll see in just a few moments why it is Yusil Taveras is also so critical now to these new charges in this superseding indictment. He is the fourth player, the fourth person you're going to hear a lot about this morning. There are others who are also a part of this. They're identified as employees of the Trump Organization, as employees number three and number five. We'll talk about them as well. The revised indictment, as I said, adds three serious charges against the former president, attempting to alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal evidence. That's one of the new charges. Inducing someone else to do so. And that's where, again, Carlos de Oliveira and even Yusil Taveras come into play. And a new count under the Espionage Act related to a classified national security document that he showed to visitors at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. Remember this? Also a part of the previous indictment. We've got more information now in the superseding indictment about the nature of that document in New Jersey, a top secret document. There was a war plan that he showed to other people in that setting. We'll get to that. Also now a part of this superseding indictment returned just a couple of days or so ago. All of this, again, landing from the grand jury this week before the people of America and pending in the federal district court in South Florida. Let's begin with that discussion. We're going to jump right into page 27 of this superseding indictment, a whole new set of charges, a whole new portion of this. Let's go through this. It is understandable. It tells this compelling story about the obstruction of justice engaged in by our former president, by Walt Nauta, and again, this new defendant, Carlos de Oliveira, involving other people. Here we go. June 3rd of 2022, a little bit over a year ago, FBI agents says we're at Mar-a-Lago, at the Mar-a-Lago Club. Why were they there? They were to collect documents with classification markings that the Trump attorneys had identified. Remember, this is a part of the request from NARA, from the National Archives for Materials, and also then from the Department of Justice. The attorneys for Donald Trump said, sure, we've got those documents. Come down here and get those documents. June 3rd, 2022. Here's the lead into the next portion. While they were there, they observed surveillance cameras located in a storage room. The FBI identifies those surveillance cameras, and that's how we get into the next portion of this story, which we are going to pursue right after this break, involving, again, the attempt to delete security camera footage from the Mar-a-Lago location. Stay with us for that important discussion.
Watching you. Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosures.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 82. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 54. Tonight, clear skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 78. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 70.
Qualify to justify these charges, again, brought by a grand jury in South Florida right before the break, talking about the fact that the story here, although it preceded much of this, begins in June when agents are down there, FBI agents, upon the invitation of the attorneys for the former president, invited down there to pick up the documents. attorneys telling the FBI, yes, we've got documents. Come down here and take a look at them. And while the agents are there, according to the very first statement in this new section in the superseding indictment, they look around and they say, you know what? There's a surveillance camera near the storage room. And why is that important? Well, prosecutors and investigators have been long understanding and trying to get a feel for what exactly was going on with these boxes. As we know from the previous indictment, lots of the photographs, are they being moved around? Who's got access to them? What is going on with respect to those documents? And so a surveillance camera right outside the very storage room in which they're being kept, plainly recording, perhaps, relevant information. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, after the FBI agents go back to Washington, take a look at all these documents, obviously get in touch almost immediately, certainly, with the U.S. Department of Justice attorneys there handling this case and say, you know what? We saw this surveillance camera. We should make a request for the surveillance videos, right? And so what happens about 3 weeks after their visit, sure enough, the Department of Justice emails an attorney for Donald Trump with a request, a draft version of a grand jury subpoena requiring the production of those security camera tapes, the footage from the Mar-a-Lago Club, including footage from the cameras on ground floor basement, where that storage location was venue there, the storage room on the ground floor. June 23 at 8:46, June 23, one day after that initial request is made from the Department of Justice to Donald Trump's attorneys, what happens? We know on June 23rd, Donald Trump calls someone named Carlos de Oliveira. Carlos de Oliveira, and they spoke for 24 minutes, okay? Presumably what happens here is the attorneys for Donald Trump call Donald Trump and say, you know what? The Department of Justice, those FBI folks, and the prosecutors are looking for those tapes. We need to produce them. We hope that's what the attorneys said. And Donald Trump, after hanging up the phone call, after concluding the conversation, what does he do? He calls the person, his property management, his maintenance supervisor at Mar-a-Lago, should have told him, you know what? You got to make certain that all those tapes are preserved. That's what the call should have been about. Presumably, based upon what happens afterwards, just the opposite happens. Donald Trump calls this fellow named De Oliveira, again, his property manager there, his maintenance supervisor, and they speak for 24 minutes. The grand jury indictment does not tell us exactly what is said, but we can figure that out based upon what happens next. That's June 23rd, one day after the request is made. June 24th, Department of Justice emails the attorney for Donald Trump with the final version of the grand jury subpoena. What does it request? It requests the production of any and all surveillance records, videos, images, photographs, and or CCTV from internal cameras at certain locations at Mar-a-Lago, including, once again, that ground floor basement location. It includes a request that any of those surveillance tapes that were recorded from when? January 10th of 2022 to June 24th of 2022, the very date of that request. That information, that span of information, important for reasons I'll talk about in just a moment. And here we go. And here is where the conspiracy hasn't already begun by that conversation between Donald Trump and this De Oliveira fellow, now a defendant in this case, is pursued. The same day, June 24th, 1:25 in the afternoon, the attorney speaks again with Donald Trump by phone regarding that security request, the request for the security camera footage at that time. That afternoon, Walt Nauta, again the personal aide for Donald Trump, receives a text message from another Trump employee. This other Trump employee says, hey, the former president, Donald Trump, wants to see you, Mr. Nauta. And less than 2 hours after that request is made to Mr. Nauta, again, already a defendant, the personal aide to the defendant, he is scheduled to travel with Donald Trump to Illinois the next day. But based upon that request, Nauta changes his travel schedule and begins to make arrangements to go where? To Palm Beach, Florida instead. Something about what happened in those previous days prompts Nauta to say, you know what, I'm not going with the former president to Illinois as scheduled. I need to go back to South Florida to do something there. And what does he do? We know from the following paragraphs. He provides some inconsistent explanations about why suddenly he changes his plans. And all of this, again, relevant to what's going on here. It suggests, once again, an immediate need after this request is made for the production of these materials to work on obviously the purpose of this was to delete those camera footage items and to obstruct justice. What happens? Nauta provides these inconsistent statements, again, according to the superseding indictment, to various colleagues, kind of trying to hide what he's doing here. About his sudden travel change, he's going to Florida all of a sudden. On June 24th, late in the evening, mid-evening or so, he texts one person that he would not be traveling with Donald Trump to Illinois, but rather he's got a family emergency, and he would be going again to South Florida. He uses the shushing emoji. Remember, this is the one that has the emoji with the lips kind of pursed and the face with the finger up against the lips, the shushing emoji to say basically quiet about this. 9:48 that night. He texts a Secret Service agent that likewise he has to check in a family member in Florida. That's the reason he's going, he says. And after he arrives in Florida on June 25th, he tells that Secret Service agent that he is now in Florida working. All right, a change in sudden plans after he is engaged with the former president. Got to go down there to do something. And about the same time on June 24th that Nauta is making his travel plans to go to Florida, Nauta and, again, this new defendant named D. Oliveira contacted another player in this, and that is the director of information technology. Already identified him. We know who he is. His name is Yusiel Taveras, T-A-V-E-R-A-S, Yusiel Taveras. He's identified again in the indictment as employee number 4. It's significant that he's identified that way. Here's a little bit of insight on that. Almost certainly, again, Yusiel Taveras not named as a defendant in the superseding indictment. Mr. Taveras is almost certainly a cooperating witness with the government. He's identified as the employee there. The fact that he's not indicted, the fact that he's identified as he is, indicates he is working with the grand jury on this investigation, probably provided testimony before that grand jury about what follows next. And sure enough, what do we know about the exchange between Nauta and D. Oliveira again on June 24th? This is 2 days after all of this request is being made about these videotapes from the surveillance cameras there. 5:02, Nauta sends a message to Taveras asking, hey, bro, you around this weekend? And about 5:00, a little shortly after that, Nauta again texts D. Oliveira saying, hey, brother, you working today? And ultimately, De Oliveira gets back and says, yes, I just left. Then calls De Oliveira, and they spoke for about 2 minutes. Okay, we don't know exactly the content of that, but we do know that Taveras, after that, texts a response to Nauta, says, I am local, entertaining some family here that came to visit. What's up? What's going on? The IT guy says. And Nauta responds, is, okay, cool. No biggie. Just wanted to see if you were around. Enjoy, bro. And again, all this is happening on June 24th. At about 7:00 that night, D. Oliveira, again, who is this property manager, texts Yusiel Taveras and says, hey, buddy, how are you? Walter, meaning Walt Nauta, called me early today saying he was trying to get in touch with you. I guess he's going to come down tomorrow. I guess he needs you for something. And again, this Yusiel Taveras, Trump employee number 4, says he reached out but didn't say what he wanted to do. I told him, Taveras says, I was local, entertaining some family that came in from New York City this weekend. He told me, no worries. Again, all this setting up what's about to happen. About 6:58 that night, again, Trump employee number 4, we know again that's Mr. Taveras, texts Nauta, says, bro, if you need me, I can get away for a few. Just let me know. Nauta responds, sounds good. Thank you. And then this goes forward. Saturday, January 25th, the next day, Nauta, again, the fellow who's the personal aide to Donald Trump, already indicted in this matter, travels from Bedminster, New Jersey. Okay? Again, keep that in mind because we're going to get back to Bedminster in just a few moments. Travels from Bedminster to Florida. And prior to Nauta's trip, De Oliveira told a valet at the Mar-a-Lago club there that Nauta's coming down. Lets him know that, yes, indeed, Nauta, the personal aide to the president, is coming down, changing plans, coming down to Florida. De Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant, asked Trump employee number 5, yet another employee here, someone else in the mix here, not to tell anyone. Don't tell anybody that Walt Nauta is coming down because Walt Nauta wants the whole thing to remain secret. Nobody's supposed to know about any of this going on. De Oliveira also told this additional Trump employee that Nauta wanted De Oliveira to talk to this Trump employee number 4 And here we go. Again, Yusiel Tavares. To see how long the camera footage was stored. How long does this video stuff remain in place? We want to talk to the IT guy. Is this camera stuff still in place? So what happens next? Okay, shortly after arriving in Palm Beach, evening of June 25th, Nauta goes to the Mar-a-Lago Club. He finally shows up after a change in plans, all these arrangements made, and he meets with Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant. Oliveira, once again, the property management there, the maintenance supervisor. And here we go with the Mar-a-Lago Club. The two of them go to the security guard booth where the surveillance video is displayed on monitors. Okay, they go there. They begin to take a look at how this all looks, right? And here's some of the most important, compelling language in this superseding indictment. The two of them walk with a flashlight through the tunnel where the storage room was located and observed and pointed out various security cameras, right? They're getting a sense of what this all looks like technologically. And then there is more. Monday, June 27th, about 9:48 or so in the morning, De Oliveira, again, this newly named defendant, walks to the IT office where Trump employee number four, again, that's Yusiel Tavares, the IT specialist, was working with another employee in the IT department. And here we go once again. De Oliveira requested that Tavares step away from the office. Leave the office with me, if he says, if you will, so that De Oliveira and Tavares could talk. All right? Can we talk privately, basically? And at about 9:50 or so that morning, again, as Tavares and De Oliveira left that IT office together and walked through the basement tunnel. All this taking place, once again, at the Trump location there in Mar-a-Lago. De Oliveira tells Tavares what's going on here, a conversation that follows, but this happens in a small room known as an audio closet near the white and gold ballroom. All right, they go to an audio closet in this location, again, plainly in an attempt not to let people know what they're doing. Once inside the audio closet, De Oliveira, the newly named defendant, and Trump employee number four, the IT specialist, Tavares, had the following exchange. And again, very critical. This will be a part of the trial presentation. De Oliveira tells Tavares their conversation should remain just between the two of them. Don't tell anybody else what we're about to talk about, okay? De Oliveira then asks Tavares how many days the server retained footage. How long does this tape remain in place? And Tavares says he believed it was about 45 days, okay? All this, again, coming from the charges in the superseding indictment. De Oliveira then tells Tavares that the boss wanted the server deleted. De Oliveira, again, the newly named defendant, along with Donald Trump, along with Walt Nauta, tells Tavares, the boss, and that means Donald Trump wants the server deleted. That's obstruction of justice, especially after you know that investigators want that information. The Trump employee number four, Tavares, responds that he would not know how to do that. He says, I don't know how to do that. He's the I2 guy. And then goes on to say, very tellingly, he did not believe that he would have the right to do that. He says, you know what? I don't know how to do that. And beyond that, I don't think I've got the right to do that. And tells De Oliveira that he would have to reach out to another employee who was a supervisor of security and to get all of that done. When we come back, more about that conversation as we talk more about these talking points, this talking indictment returned about obstruction of justice related to the Trump Mar-a-Lago documents. Stay with us for that important discussion.
This is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Family Natural Foods is proud to serve our wonderful hometown. They are a family-run business committed to providing personal guidance to help customers meet their health goals with reference books, natural supplements, and 75 years of experience. You will find organic, local, grass-fed meat, sustainable seafood, gluten and dairy-free products, fair trade coffee and tea, and essential oils. Come visit Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Talking indictment, the superseding indictment against the former president and two others, Walt Nauta, his personal aide, and again, a new defendant in this matter named De Oliveira, who is the property management, the maintenance supervisor at the location, also involving this IT specialist, whose name is Yusil Tavares. And right before the break, talking about this very clandestine conversation taking place on June 27th of last year, taking place again in an audio closet near the White and Gold Ballroom. De Oliveira, again, who is one of the additional Trump employees there, having this conversation with the IT specialist Tavares, telling him that their conversation should remain between the two of them. De Oliveira asking the IT specialist how many days it would take before the server either deletes or how long is the footage retained. And Tavares says he believes it's about 45 days. And again, that prompts De Oliveira again, who is there plainly on behalf of Nauta, plainly on behalf of the president, to say that the boss wants the server deleted. We need to get rid of this evidence. Why? The Department of Justice is asking about it. That is obstruction of justice. Again, Tavares responds, he doesn't know how to do that, which is interesting as the IT guy there didn't believe he would have the right to do that, which is significant in establishing his own sensibility, probably, not only as an IT specialist, but probably understanding that something odd is going on here and says, I got to talk to somebody else, supervisor of security, how to do that. And De Oliveira then insists to Trump employee number four again, who is Tavares, that the boss wants the server deleted. And he looks at him and he says, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The boss wants this to happen, and you don't know how to do it, basically. 10:14 that morning, De Oliveira then texts Nauta, who's again had this conversation with Tavares, still in Florida. And he says, hey, buddy, are you working today? And De Oliveira then called Nauta about 10:15 or so a minute later, and they spoke for about 1 minute. Presumably, what is that about? Presumably about the conversation that De Oliveira and Tavares had just had about deleting, getting rid of this evidence from the Mar-a-Lago location. And again, more information coming up right after that. Later that same day, Nauta, again, Walt Nauta, a part of the indictment already, texts Oliveira, again, who was at the Mar-a-Lago Club, and says, on my way to you, I'm coming to talk to you, okay? They're not going to have this conversation by phone, not no text here. Between 1:31 and 1:50 on that day, De Oliveira walked through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club property. They're walking through bushes to meet with Nauta on the adjacent property. They're walking through bushes, the property, to meet on some adjacent property, and then walked back to the IT office. that he had visited that very morning, and then walked again through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club to meet with Nada on the adjacent property, walking back and forth through bushes that apparently on the border of the Mar-a-Lago property to meet with Nada, presumably to talk with him about what they're going to do in the wake of the conversation with the IT guy, Tavares, not indicted, plainly cooperating with the government. What are we going to do about this request from the boss, Donald Trump, to get rid of all of this evidence? At 3:55, Trump calls to Oliveira, and they speak for about 3.5 minutes. Fascinating, right? And that's where the new portion of the indictment concludes. A couple of observations about that. What you've just heard, what the indictment describes there, is a conspiracy to obstruct justice. That is destroying evidence, and that's the reason why, in addition to Donald Trump, additional count there for him, also for Nata, and now also this D. Oliveira fellow, the property manager at the site, also involved now in this conspiracy to destroy evidence. That's what you just heard based upon the indictment, the new superseding indictment there, also indicating very strongly that Yusile Tavares, the IT specialist there, almost certainly providing this information to the grand jury. That's how it ends up in this superseding indictment. Compelling information. A lot of people have noticed, too, that this last portion in which it's plain that you've got this conversation between D. Oliveira and Nauta, again, all defendants, taking place again. They're walking through bushes going to an adjacent property so that presumably no one can see them together. An awful lot of people are speculating upon what that's all about. Engage in some kind of activity immediately off of the Mar-a-Lago activity that somehow couldn't come closer to the property itself to transact. It's either that he didn't want to be recorded having visited Mar-a-Lago that day, that's Nata, or that he's now very aware of that the federal government is interested in this and was not eager to be observed in any way being there. What is that? That's consciousness of guilt. That's consciousness of guilt that you know you're doing something wrong and you're hiding your very activity, the very activity that you've been requested to do by the former president, which is to destroy that information. How long does it last? Can we get rid of it? That too, consciousness of guilt. That's why this is so important, not only in terms of these additional charges, but also further supporting this indictment that Donald Trump knew what he was doing, gets this information from his attorney, and his response is to see if he can destroy evidence that the government wants, has requested days earlier. That is compelling, hugely, hugely troubling, and yes, it's criminal conduct. Again, hasten to add, it's charged. It has not been found, but with this much specificity and this much certainty, also certainly corroborated by Jack Smith's other attorneys there, other information presented compellingly to a grand jury that looks at this and says, yes, we find probable cause that all of this happened. Compelling information. Now Donald Trump facing 40 counts based upon all this in the superseding indictment. We're going to talk about more of that, but before we do so, we've got a caller. Gary, you've been waiting online for a while. Glad to have you with us this morning. Your observation or comment about our subject matter this morning.
Well, you can imagine where I'm going to come from. I'm fair, okay?
Yes.
I listen to CNN. I listen to you guys. I listen to Matt Flynn. I listen to Hannity, okay? So I hear both sides. It's like you go into court and you're going to defend yourself, but the only jury is going to hear is from the prosecutor. Now, does that sound fair to you, Jim?
And I'm going to answer that question directly. The answer is this. It's a part of the process. Here's the civics point, Gary. A grand jury indictment is the charges. And as I've said at least two or three times this morning, they're the allegations. Why do we have a trial when you go into trial? That's where this will be presented. And yes, indeed, absolutely. Does Donald Trump and the other defendants now named, will they have an opportunity to defend this case? Yes, they will. What we're doing this morning is describing what a grand jury determined based upon the evidence presented to it. That day in trial is coming. Your point is entirely well taken. And it is fair because it is a part of the system. And it is a part of our system, which has been in place for 240 years. When we come back after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about additional things in this grand jury indictment. Again, going to trial in May of next year or beyond. Stay with us for more of this on Morning Cannolis.
I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.